Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to GL Manny as presents Robin Sue Farms Guiding Light Fan Fiction. I'm sorry I didn't get the song right at the beginning, but it has been ages since I did this, and apparently it lost the theme music, so I will have to make sure I get that put back before we do it again. I had started reading my fanfic, so there would be an audio version, quite a ways back, and I hadn't done one in years, but I had somebody send me an email that they really appreciated me having it, and I realized I really hadn't done any in years. So I wanted to make sure that I got started doing that again, partly because it is Manny's anniversary, and I thought it would be a good time to catch up and get audio versions of all my fanfics. So here we go. And this is one that is a prequel to Manny. It takes place while Rebecca Budded was in the role, and she was playing Michelle. This is it takes place during the masquerade ball that they had for New Year's 1995-1996. And it's the one where Brent Lawrence kidnaps Lucy. Was she married to Alan Michael? No, she wasn't married to Alan Michael yet. So Lucy Cooper. And that is, I think the rest of what you need to know is in the story. So I should mention that if you want to find more of my fanfic, including the text version of this, it will be available, or it's available on my blog, glmanny.wordpress.com, where I put not only fanfic, I put information about Manny, posts about as an episode guide to their story, analysis, information about Guiding Light in general, all that kind of thing. But having let you know that, now let's get going with Having a Ball by Robin Sue Farm. Michelle had temporarily lost Bill. He was wearing a Southern Civil War soldier's uniform. It really didn't fit with her Madonna costume. Most of the other costumes that night were in pairs. Blake and Ross as Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers, Dinah and Rogers, Cleopatra and Caesar, Hart and Bridget as the Great Gatsby and Daisy, Lucy and Alan Michael as Zorro and a Spanish Senorita, and Fletch and Holly as King Henry VIII and whichever one of his wives whose head he hadn't chopped off yet. Of course, it wasn't like her and Bill were a real couple. They were just friends. She was pleased. She had so easily won the argument with her father to go as Madonna. Ed had bought her a sweet little Betsy Ross costume to go with his George Washington costume and Rick's Paul Revere. It was a much better match for sweet, innocent Abby. After all, Abby was still sweet and innocent, and Michelle, having spent a couple of months at a boarding school in Switzerland, saw herself as sophisticated and a woman of the world. Michelle walked along, swaying her hips much more than usual and tossing her head to flip the ponytail. Her head was full of images of how other people must be seeing her now, grown up, sexy. And so she wasn't watching where she was going, and so came around the corner too quickly and bumped into a tall, dark, handsome stranger. He was dressed in a period suit from the early 1800s with a large, stiff collar, a cravat, a cutaway coat, vest, and tight trousers. Michelle discovered the problem with wearing her Madonna costume with large bullet bra was that it was particularly embarrassing to literally run into people as the two peaks drove into his chest. The stranger put out his hand to help steady her. She blushed and looked down. "Are you okay, Miss?" the stranger said, his dark curls encircling his face that was half covered by a Lone Ranger-style mask decorated to match his costume. Madonna? I'm sorry. The Lone Ranger-style mask decorated to match his costume. Miss Madonna, I knew my father wouldn't recognize the costume, but someone as you ought to be able to recognize it. Don't you know anything about music? A smirk pulled at the stranger's lips. I know a little, more than enough to recognize a material girl. I know, right? My dad, he's George Washington over there, had no idea. My brother Rick, he's Paul Revere, had to tell him. He wanted me to wear that little Miss Betsy Ross my friend Abby's wearing. That's her beside Rick. Michelle tossed her ponytail over to the left. That so wouldn't be me. You can see that, can't you? Michelle tossed him what she thought of as her seductive look. Just who are you? The stranger paused, put all his weight on one leg, and tapped the other leg, raising up a couple of inches while doing a stiff half bow with a nod, like in a period movie. Fitzwilliam Darcy, at your service. I'm here with my sister, Elizabeth Bennett, for tonight. He pointed to her, a girl talking animatedly to some girls Michelle didn't know. She was wearing her hair up in curls and wearing a high-waisted dress from a Jane Austen novel or the Colin Firth movie. Michelle was very familiar with both. Well, if they make a sequel, Colin Firth better look out because you could replace him. And since Mr. Darcy can't dance with Miss Bennett at the country club ball, how about you dance with me? Michelle was pleased with her sophisticated woman flirtation, just like something someone in a movie would say. Mr. Darcy slowly ran his eyes over her from head to foot and then came back to her eyes and stared into their depths for what seemed like a long time. If there wasn't already an age-inappropriate Rhett Butler here, I'd steal one of his lines. Michelle felt something catch in her stomach, and she nervously found herself jabbering on. That's my cousin Matt, my mom's best friend Vanilla. My mom's best friend Vanessa is his wife in Scarlet. What do you mean, age-inappropriate? No offense to your mother or her friend, but Rhett's supposed to be older than Scarlett by quite a deal, and he looks half her age. And Scarlett couldn't have been more than 24 or so when she wore that dress. I think your Vanessa looks twice that. Easy. Michelle sputtered a response. That's an unfair observation? An unpalatable truth? Isn't that what proud Mr. Darcy is supposed to say about people? And what do you know about age anyway? I bet you're about my baby sister's age. Around 16, am I right? Michelle fell into silence, fed by confusion. As I was saying, if there wasn't already another Rhett Butler in the room, I'd say, no, I don't think I will kiss you, although you need kissing, badly. That's what's wrong with you. You should be kissed and often, and by someone who knows how. Know how. Darcy leaned closer as if he was about to kiss her, but instead he moved slightly to whisper in her ear. But it's just as well, since you aren't quite ready. You may think you're ready to be picked off the tree, but you're not quite ripe yet. He straightened. Not that someone that looks close. Not that there isn't a lot of promise there. There is. Lots of promise. If someone looks close, they can see the true gold that is there underneath all this unnecessary gilding. He gestured towards her costume head to foot. A few years to grow up, and I think you'll see just how unnecessary all this effort is. Anyone worth getting your kisses or your respect won't need all this guilt to see the gold. It'll just make it harder to spot. And anyone who doesn't need the guilt to see you isn't worth your time, respect, or kisses. Darcy shot her another smile. I hope, Miss Madonna, I run into you in another few years, and you've grown up a little bit more, and that you're dressing like you respect yourself. Darcy favored her with another bow, and then strode off towards his sister. For a minute, Michelle felt frozen in a bubble in time. His words pulled at her mind. He called to something deep in her soul. Maybe to the Michelle she had once been and the Michelle she would be again in a few years. But then her new attitude pushed it and all her Michelle-ness down inside her. After all, she was a sophisticated woman now, and she didn't need this dusty wannabe as approval. She stalked off to see if she could find Bill. Meanwhile, Danny Santos walked over to his sister Pilar. She was home from boarding school and had begged her college student big brother to bring her. Pilar's first boarding school had been in Chicago, and just last year she'd had a quinceañera with a group of girls she knew from Chicago, and when they found out Lakeland Country Club was having a masquerade ball for New Year's, they decided it was worth a limo trip. Mama hadn't let her come without an in-the-know escort, so if Danny hadn't come, Pilar wouldn't be able to either. Danny smiled at Pilar's friends, but tuned out their chatter as he remembered the Madonna girl. He really hoped she'd be okay. He glanced over to the man in the George Washington costume and hoped he'd be able to keep her safe. He thought she'd have a rough couple of years, but he hadn't been lying. There was real gold there. He had seen it. Having a Ball by Robin Sue Farm, A Story of Manny. Thank you very much, and find more on this channel and on my blog, glmanny.wordpress.com. Thank you.